This interview with Otis Skaggs is being conducted as a part of an exhibit called Home is Not a House, focusing on homelessness and housing, that will be exhibited at the Louisville Free Public Library from October 14th to December 14th. My name is Elizabeth Standridge, and I am a student at the University of Louisville working on this exhibit. Today is July 26, 2019, and we are at Otis's apartment. Also here is Courtney Foster, Otis's case manager, who might chime in on occasion. All right, so to get started with questions, can you please state for me your name and when and where you were born?
Otis Skaggs is my name. I was actually born in Louisville at Children's Hospital in 1948. 5 years later, my family lived. They were from the countryside. They're from LaRue County on the Greene County line. So they were here 5 years, and about 5 years old, they moved back to LaRue County. It was my grandpa owned land. I think they got a 15-acre, he bought for $2,000 a 15-acre farm from grandpa. And I just found out recently from my brother, grandpa owned 600 acres in that area. So
the next thing I was going to ask you to do is just give a brief personal background. So give an idea of the family you grew up in up until kind of to the present in a brief way.
Family I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was, she was a hillbilly girl from the area. She was. They met working in a factory down here. I'm not sure what factory they were working in, but she was from Louisville County. Her family was moonshiners. They died young, so she hooked up with him. He probably she was smart enough to know he had the land. That's why I'm assuming that he had the land. She wasn't only, and he had the land because they were tobacco growers in those days. A lot of tobacco. Probably at least an acre, which is a lot of tobacco. Make a lot of money. Because he had 2/10 an acre. He went from like 1,000 a year to 3,000 a year. 2/10 an acre of tobacco. So, and grandpa up the road, not far, about one block. In city blocks, about one block, 115. Probably, I know he had, so. And they had tobacco barns. Grandpa had tobacco barns, cattle farm, cattle, horses, mules. He had mules.
Did you live there your whole childhood?
Yeah, up to 19 years old when I went to college.
And where'd you go to college?
Western Kentucky University. I went there 2.5 years. Dropped out. Became a hippie. It was hippie days. That was the thing to do. If you're young, grow your hair. Parents only about getting a haircut anyway. Oh, my dad was, yeah. He worked in a sawmill. Two sawmills down in the city. He worked at Crushed Stone Company, miner. Had a cave in with the hospitals. I think that's why he moved. He got out of there. He got out of the city. He worked in a furniture factory. Furniture factory in Crushed Stone. And he moved back there and worked in sawmills. So all I ever knew he did worked in sawmills until later age. Big guy was a guy. He wasn't real. He was about my same height. He was a monster. I mean, he had this guy was wall to wall muscle. Wall to wall. I mean, he was like about brick house. He was. He was scary. He was wall to wall muscle.
Where'd you go after WKU?
I came home for a short period and I went out, took off hitchhiking, wound up in Florida, bad scene, came back, married an Irish girl. One of the girls that was at school, we were interested in each other, and I moved to New Jersey, South Orange, New Jersey. Daddy was a fireboat captain. I worked for Great Eastern Department Stores. Great Eastern Department Stores in Union, New Jersey, and New Brunswick. And they were affiliated. I worked for a guy on clothing stores called The Image, and the clothing store in Great Eastern Department Store. Then I went over to a record shop, concessions within Great Eastern Department Stores, which is like Walmart. It's like a whole different concessions, Capitol Records. I went to one manager meeting in Manhattan. Capitol Records. Fancy too. Boring, but fancy.
And what did you do after you worked at the department store? What kind of was your next step?
We moved. He bought a farm. Her daddy, which is a fireboat. He was a fireboat captain, and his brother, her uncle was a policeman in Western Kentucky University. She never told me this, but because I was a pothead LSD, you know, which is cool. I mean, you know, she's a cool girl. But so we moved back to Louisville. I tried to make it, collect unemployment. Moved into a house. We didn't pay rent. All we had to do was fix the house up. That's all I had to do, paint it, do stuff. The guy, I lucked out. So what happened then, since I couldn't get a job and everything, I hadn't got my unemployment in yet. Along the way, while I was in Jersey, we bought a brand new Datsun Fastback. Originally only out one or 2 years out. Datsun Fastback, lime green. Okay. So we had a new car, and I thought, and her cousin had a band, so I let him in there, and he says, "Well, I want to go to Colorado." I said, "Okay," that's why I ended up in Colorado. Put a U-Haul in the back, which was a mistake. A little car can't pull a U-Haul. Put the music equipment in, went to Colorado, and I got a place, and she got a place, and then she got a job. I didn't even get a job yet. I was still waiting. In between, I did get a job. Delivering some kind of information from some kind of company. All I had to do was drive there, deliver it, bring it, and drive back. So I got a job doing that. Eventually, I had to let that go because the winters are real bad in Colorado. I never saw winters like that. Maybe in the East Coast, but I didn't like driving the highway, so I quit that. I sat there and moped around, and then I got $1,000 from the unemployment check. So I had money. Probably another reason I quit the job. So we had it wasn't an apartment, we had a room, in a nice room. We had a room house, a basement. It was just a nice place. And it was full of hippies. All kinds of people there. I mean, it was Boulder definitely was a hippie town for a long time. Hmm. Probably still is. Well, sort of. Not really. Sort of.
I don't know.
Okay.
So how long were you there?
We broke up there.
Okay.
Because I just wasn't going anywhere. I wanted to be a vegetarian. She didn't want to be a vegetarian. So I went, wait a minute. And she didn't want to have kids. And I said, what am I doing being married? There's all these girls around. University of Colorado. That's Boulder. So, okay, so we broke up. I gave her the car. I gave her the car and I took the money I owed the university. They sent me a letter, $800, so I had the money. So I paid for it. She left. I went down and got a dishwashing job. Worked in the restaurant. So the real, Boulder's a real... Boulder is a Y on a tourist. So you go left, you go to Vail, Netherlands, all kind. You go right, you go to Aspen. It runs. Now back then they only had Netherlands, Vail, Aspen, three. Now they got 27 ski centers. That's why I kept going back every summer to work up there because the place was growing. Hmm. Lots of money. They paid good wages too.
So
it's beautiful too.
How long were you dishwashing there? Or working in that area?
Before I left?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the meantime, I got into dealing pot because I ran into a pot connection. And now I was a pothead. No LSD around. So. But those days were over, I think. Yeah, they were. Well, not yet. They weren't over in California, but they were over there. So, hashish and pot. That's what I was dealing pot. Ran the angel dust. Started doing angel. The guy cut that off. I was getting real bad headaches all the time. He says, we're going to kill ourselves. He's getting married in the mountains. Went to his wedding. Real cool guy. So he had been in construction. A lot of construction going in the mountains. So I broke that off. Bought a van. cut the dealing off and went to Arizona to get away from drugs. Real smart. I didn't know nothing about the West, obviously. There were probably more drug addicts. That's the Mexican border. There are more drug addicts in Tucson than there are anywhere in the country, just about, except California. Hmm. Which I've later on found out.
Yeah. So how long were you in Arizona? What'd you do there?
Colorado in the summer. I learned a trick. Colorado in the summer for work. Arizona a little work. Buy cheap pot. And hitchhike to California, because it's easier to hitchhike California through the desert and then over the mountain Sierra. 25 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what brought you... Obviously, you're back in Louisville now, so when did you come back to Louisville?
I had a girlfriend. I had a nympho. A drug addict nympho. Yeah. We were very cute, too. Very good looking. She was in her 40s. I was in my 40s. I was 48. She was 45. And she said she had friends in Ohio. So I decided to hitchhike back because I've been wanting to come back anyway. I was tired of Arizona. The things, I had three apartments I could go to and smoke pot, low price, I could buy it. But I spent 10 years there in three apartments. I lived for free. The rent was for free. But the guy was moving. They were all disappearing. I decided to come home, come back west. Mm-hmm. I mean, come back east. And at the same time, by the time I got here, my dad was dying. Mm-hmm. He died. He had been working for Kentucky Trailers. $600-some a week take home. So he said, finally got a decent, he says, I'm gonna give you a decent job running a machine. Mm-hmm. Paid him real good. Kentucky Trailers makes 18-wheelers, which my 18-wheeler, not the cabs, not the truck, 18-wheeler, that's what they call them, trailers, apparently. So, in Louisville, I asked him about that, because I used to drive Louisville. I started driving Louisville after he talked me into getting the car. I started driving back and forth to temps at Labor Works. He says, oh, we had a van pick us up. In those days, they had a van. They pick us up every morning, drive us in, and drive us back a little. Oh, well, that must have been nice. I'd have to drive every morning.
Right.
Tore up that Mitsubishi in 2 years, but okay. That explains everything. He eventually died. That's why I wound up back in Louisville. I mean, I inherited with four people, I inherited a farm, but my brother wouldn't let me grow a garden. He says, no, you can't grow it. They wanted to get rid of me. Because they wanted to sell it, and that's what they did. They wanted to pretend they didn't want to sell it, but they wanted to sell it. So I wound up getting, I'm not going to say money. Buy one. So I moved out into my car and wound up in a car wreck. Not a bad one, not in a car wreck. That's not how my leg, that's not why I ended up here, in a car wreck. I lost the car. Lost everything in it. So, up there by where Kroger is, Douglas Boulevard, Bardstown Road. Yeah, I got mad at everybody, and I decided to drive home, back to, because the farm hadn't been sold by then. By the time I lost the car, it was important to go. I didn't. You need a car in the countryside. You got to have a car in the countryside. That's why they're all cars. That's probably what they call honkies, you know, honk the horn, honky tonks. Because you grow up, you got to have a car to live out there. Everybody got to have a car. To go to work, get to the grocery, anything. Because we're 30 miles from Campbellsville and 30 miles from Hodgeville.
So what, do you know what year the car accident was?
Car accident?
Yeah, when you lost your car.
I don't know, about a good 10 years ago. Because
okay.
I've been in housing now 6 years, so I got hit by a car there and started a nursing home. That's probably why. God's plan says, here, see how it is to get off the streets. So the nursing home was, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go. Watch TV laying, nothing wrong with that. I was always a TV bug. My old man used to get on me about watching television. I was a TV bug. Mm-hmm. Fantasy Island. I call it Fantasy Island. Not TV's fantasies. It's in Escape magazines. They even got a station that called Escape. It's in Escape magazines. From the realities of life.
Yeah.
But now we're making our own. See, with TV and electronic, we're making our own reality. This is a whole different reality. That's primitive. That's the past.
It's primitive.
Out there, you have to live like an animal. You have to think like an animal. You're either a predator or a victim.
Mm-hmm.
The wolf and the sheep. Yeah. And you vacillate, you would vacillate. That's schizophrenia. That's why they probably label it schizophrenia or paranoia. Bipolar. That's what you'll be in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's primitive. Back to the Ice Age, the Stone Age.
Well, Otis, I did want to ask you, is there anything else that you want to add to your personal background, your story?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I have to add anything.
Okay. Well...
Naivete. That's an art movement. Naivete. Mm-hmm. It was actual art movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Naivete. Very similar, I would say very similar to the Impressionists, Post-Impressionists, the Impressionists, and the Renaissance. Naivete.
And were you involved in that?
What?
The naivete art movement?
I call it the art of living. Yeah.
Okay.
I was involved in the art of living naivete.
Gotcha.
Being naive. As long as I ignored what was going on in the world, I remained naive. Which is basically a child state.
Mm-hmm.
Innocence. Naivete is based on innocence, child state. Remain innocent, you know. It's another process of mental law. I've noticed that in people, mental law. You get that way when you get older. That's what happens to people who get older. They start wanting to turn back the clock. It's called turn back. That's not even today. It's called innocence. I'd rather be a child. And that's really, it's acceptable and necessary in monasteries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Childlike state. It's absolutely necessary. It starts 2001. There's a psychology there, 2001. I believe it's what you actually experience in meditation. Because you go from darkness, you see light, and you feel love, you're reborn. Jesus taught rebirth, didn't he? He did teach born again. The Hindus say born again and again and again, reincarnation. So what? What if the universe, this is all, it's, why not reincarnation? Why not just a cycle? And all we do is really, ultimately, bottom line, we simply see darkness and we see light, which they've proven. And the birth state, the reborn again. Why not? I mean, no one's really designated it. I can designate it. And you can see it in babies, in a total innocence. I mean, everything they love, they just, okay, so that's what you experience. I believe that's what he was talking about. And I believe Jesus was actually teaching meditation, and the Roman Empire covered it up. They've been covered up because it separates the East from the West. Rudyard Kipling.
Mm-hmm.
East and West and the twain should never meet. Maybe he understood that when he said that. But the point is, if that's true, then that would separate prayer and fasting, yes, but that would separate. And they believe, say, if you separate that, that would separate you from Hinduism and Buddhism. And Islamism doesn't teach meditation, maybe some do. Judaism doesn't teach it, and Christianity doesn't teach it, the Far East. So if you separate meditation from it, then you would have two different worlds.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I interrupt you real quick? I'd like to jump ahead a little bit and start asking you about the permanent supportive housing program. Okay. So can you tell me a little bit about your experience with the program? How did you enter the program?
Sarah Buckler. I got hit by cars in the nursing home, Golden Life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Golden Life. Golden Living, it's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kept one of those things. So Golden Living. And for 3 months, yeah, as I healed. So, and then I called Sarah.
How did you know Sarah?
Sarah, I knew Bologna. She worked at Bologna Alley. Sarah worked at Bologna Alley. I knew her through that because I'd had to get some IDs and stuff when they were stolen.
So someone doesn't know what Bologna Alley
and
is.
Bus ticket.
Can you explain it?
Yeah, she. They have. Bologna Alley has the Catholic Church there has. She was. They have a program where they give you they'll replace your IDs.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, St. John did that.
Mm-hmm.
Jean did that.
Mm-hmm.
For me too. If your wallet's stolen or lost or anything, okay, they would do that. Plus, Sarah worked there. And then she worked. She started working as a caseworker.
Mm-hmm.
St. John had offered me a place to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
She actually asked me. She said, "I can get you a place if you need." Well, then I didn't. You know, the streets are addicted. What they say, man is a creature of habits. Creature of habits. Man is a creature of habits. Sociology. So, it's habitual. Streets. But once I was in a nursing home, I go like, all right, I don't want to go back. I don't want that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was hit right there at Thornton's, crossing the Thornton Street, buying a 32 ounce of beer. Well, someone was trying to attack me. I wasn't paying attention. I chased him off, but I was watching my back.
Mm-hmm.
I muscled in the car hit. So I decided not to go back to the streets. After those incidents, I started, you know, I had time, 3 months, to sit back and look what's going on. Go, those days are over. And now I realize those days are over. The hippie days are over. I was living in the past, the hippie days and all that stuff. Those days are over. I even went back to Arizona. They're all over. The streets are dangerous there now, too. They're not hip. There are no hip people there. There's a whole lot of poor people, a whole lot of poor guys, white and black and Mexican, wetbacks, they're called wetbacks, come across. It's all there. You never know what they get in trouble, you never know what's going to happen. So when I came back, wait a minute, how did that work in there? When I came back, I think I tried that first. Oh, that's when I was dealing with Francis, who works at the Phoenix Health Clinic next door, spent 2 months trying to give me a place, and I got mad at her because I'm freezing cold outside trying to drink a beer. Freezing cold outside, and behind Home of the Innocents there at the railroad where they chase those guys off. Okay, I knew that whole area, so I just go in there and drink. And so I said, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got a bus, and by then I had money. I had my check coming in. So that happened before the car hit me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I came back, and that's when she offered me, went there two or three times. I paid for Greyhound or something, I think. I had a car. I went there two or three times, even when I had a car. Came back, and when the car hit me, that was it. Last straw.
Mm-hmm. And that's when Sarah offered you a place in the housing?
Just before that.
Okay.
She offered that. But I called her up. I called her up from nursing home. She had, mm-hmm. She had offered me, but
right.
I didn't take it then. But by then, I was ready for a place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when was that? What year did you get in the housing?
That's about 6 years ago. I'd say because I can judge. I've been here 3 years, September, and I was 3 years out there, south side.
Where's out there?
Auburn, behind the Auburndale Mall. Legacy Apartments. It's
mm-hmm.
called Legacy Apartments behind the Auburndale Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Very convenient spot, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's Third and Newcut. Is there? It's where the.
You lived there for 3 years.
So you've been in the program for 6 years, and you lived there for three, and lived here for three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm happy with this so far. I mean, especially now they're fixing it up. Nice windows, everything. No complaints. I found a better spot, but it's a question of what better is. It's newer, but I don't really want to move.
Well, so you've settled well into the house you have.
Yeah. It's gradually, yeah.
Yeah.
So I do want to ask you, once you reached out to Sarah, what was that process like of actually getting into housing?
She came out and saw me. She set the whole thing up. I mean, she really did. She was. I mean, I wasn't even out of crutches yet. I was still in crutches. She set the whole thing up. Come on, picked me up. Told me it was an old farmhouse. I don't know where she came up with that. I mean, it was a dump to me. Wait a minute, that's worse than I grew up. And I grew up in an old house. I mean, a farmhouse, not an old one. Actually, Dad built a new house. Aluminum siding, but, you know, four. And then she took me to those apartments, basement. And the only reason I found out I don't want to live in, I don't like basements. But at the time, walking down with crutches was easier than walking up with crutches. So I took it. I only got out of there because the upstairs neighbors were dope dealers, making lots of noise, keeping me awake. Gnats were flying in the window. The bathroom ceiling was falling through.
Shame.
Spiders were biting me. Fleas were eating me. The girls, that after they kicked the gay guys out, I mean, not even gay guys, the girls moved in and they had cats. Fleas were eating me alive. I told Lisa all that, and she got me out of there. Lisa come over and saw it, and she says, we're going to move you. I said, thank you. So Lisa was instrumental in that, moving me down there.
And who is Lisa?
She's the Homeless Coalition. Sent two girls show up.
Okay.
So I would be in no hurry to move.
She still works with us as well. She does more of the lease and paperwork side of our...
Her name, Samara, she's...
Elisa Miller.
Or,
Lisa Miller.
You know it.
Okay. So you've now been in this apartment for 3 years.
Yeah.
Have you had the same case manager the entire time you've been in the program?
No, I had Sarah moved up. I had a Tiny, Kristen Heron, and Courtney. That's it.
Okay. And how long has Courtney been your case manager now?
Well, 6 months.
I was going to say. It's a pop quiz. Yes, you're right. It's February.
Awesome. So about 6 months. So what is your relationship with your case manager like? I know she's right here, but what are some of the things that you guys do together?
She's pretty thorough. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we do together? She helped me pick up my air conditioner, which is really helpful. Mm-hmm. Helped me pick up my air conditioner. And that's pretty much all I asked her to do. Tiny got me the phone after 2 years. But I come up with the idea. She was here, and she went right through it and did it. So I was like, don't complain about that. I got a smartphone. But she helped me get the air conditioner, picked up a bargain supply, and brought it over. So that's cool. I really need to do that. As far as anything else, I mean, I try to do things for exercise. I finally bought one of those wheels at Home Center, and one of those carts.
Mm-hmm.
They sell all kinds of stuff there. And I've gone all the way to Home Center to pick up shelving and stuff. I thought about getting her, and then I go like, wait a minute. And I worked out because I got bungee cords. I tied stuff down. Roll it down. What's the big deal? It's a set of wheels.
It
works real well. And I get exercise.
Home visits at all, or what those are like?
Home visits?
Yeah.
Oh, they're fine. They're smooth. She's always on. She's unbelievable. She's always on time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. What happens during home visits?
We just talk. Yeah.
What do you talk about?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Probably my life. Some new things I've done, some other things, goals. She calls them goals, I just call it things that get occupy my time. I gotta occupy my time.
Mm-hmm. And would you mind sharing what some of those goals are?
Well, now I gotta do some painting. I mean, I fixed up the place now.
Mm-hmm.
It looks nice. And I want to do a little bit. I want to paint that light up. See yellow all around and wash it up. I don't think anybody's taking light. I got to wipe my fan down for the dust because this place shoots dust in like you wouldn't believe. It's dusty. I mean, some of the girls have complained about it. I wiped it down this morning so you don't see all the dust. I've gotten enough of, like I said, get those pads for the bottom. I don't like the indentation. And there is weight on my shelving.
Mm-hmm.
There's weight on the shelving.
Okay, so a lot of home maintenance type stuff?
Home maintenance,
okay.
Good one. Yeah, home maintenance.
You had some health goals, but you've pretty much finished all those, so...
Health goals, yeah.
Yeah,
paid the hospital off, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm alright on the health goals. I'm pretty healthy. I need to like I said, the bicycle is specifically for exercise. But I'll do something next. I'm gonna break down and go buy me some movies next month and force myself to ride a bicycle because it's already up there past. What's that street that runs in front of Cherokee Park? Darn, I forgot it. I know that. Okay, it runs by. It's the main thoroughfare.
Bardstown Road, maybe.
No, oh, Bardstown Road. Yeah, you're right. But it crosses and goes to Cherokee Park, the Cherokee area, which is a big house.
No, right,
it's not Green. It's not Grinstead. It's past Grinstead. It starts with an A. What do they call that street?
It's not Eastern Parkway, is it?
Eastern Parkway.
Okay.
It doesn't start with an A. Eastern Parkway.
Okay.
That used to be. I finally learned if you want the police to leave you alone, you're in the streets, you want a drink, go to past Eastern Parkway, and there's an Arab store. They used to sell liquor at the Arab store. You can sit around there. And I finally learned to go further all the way to Douglas. Guys would hang up there. They never bothered you. There's a police station there. It's the rich side of town. They never bothered. The richer you got, further away from the tram. The tramps all hang around Mid-City Mall and area and Panhandle. Used to. Especially around that gas station Speedway. And of course, they're still doing it up there. I've been out there, I don't go up. I don't drink liquor anymore. I gave up. Strictly beer now. Just beer, and not even strong beer. Because I can handle it all. I can handle it all day. And it makes me hungry like pot used to. I like that. So I down pizzas and really getting into pasta. I've been watching too much Rachel Ray. She's going to make a pasta this and pasta that.
Yeah, that'll make you want
to
eat it.
Yeah, I like it. It's going to replace taters. I just marked off a bag of taters and I wrote down pasta. And I can buy it at the dollar store too.
Yeah, that's true.
Al dente.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Al dente.
So another aspect of the program is life skill classes. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Those are nice. I'm gonna probably show up for the movies because I like movies. I mean, why not coincide both curriculums? I go to life school and plus I get to see a movie. Yeah,
yeah.
Why not?
We do a movie
once. Lisa sent me a letter. She wants me to show up once a month at least,
mm-hmm.
So I can do that. I mean, I'll probably do that. I mean, it's not that that's all depends. If it's a rainy day, then I'll go another
right.
day.
So what are some of the things that you all talk about in life skill classes?
We talk about all kinds of stuff. We don't do too much talking there. I mean, that's the advantage of the movies, not too much talking. Eating. My favorite time, meal time.
So do you usually just go for the ones with the movies?
We're starting to be, not all, I mean, not in the past, but pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now that's my objective, yeah. Go see a movie. Maybe bring a soda or some chips. I'll wait and see what's there. I haven't been to one. I'm not sure what I did last. Well, I went to one last month. That's right. I skipped this since it was because it's a meeting.
He was going to go today, but we
yeah.
did this instead.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. I mean, this is the same thing to me.
Do you enjoy getting to see the other guys who are in the program? No.
Not
fair
guys.
Enough.
I know. Guys. You know, who does a smart guy say? You need a rich old lady with a fancy house, brand new Cadillac, and.
Oh, man.
And no family. Because they're going to cause nothing but. Or a nice family. No, that's not what I'm actually being a recluse.
Yeah.
I'm being a recluse spider.
Okay.
Okay. Recluse Pioneer. Oh, by the way, they wore brown. They were called brown recluses.
Hmm.
Like the monasteries did. The Jesuits, they were brown. And the others were tan. Brown recluse.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other ones? In the Far East, they're very picky about this. I lived with the Hare Krishnas three times out west. They wear orange, but they wear orange and almost sort of pinkish with the other. And the Buddhists wear a different color. They'll mm-hmm. tell you that.
Yeah.
We wear a different color robe than Buddhists. We don't get it confused because the Hare Krishnas shave their heads. They have a tikka there,
mm-hmm.
which the Chinese borrowed originally. When you see those movies,
mm-hmm.
that long, you know what they believe, don't you? That tikka, this is what they believe, that tikka. If you don't have a tikka, they come down, God, the devil yanks you into hell with your tikka, and God yanks you into heaven with that tikka, so you got to have that tikka.
Mm-hmm.
But really what it is a uniform. They designate themselves. The Buddhists shave their heads. That's why I shave my head. I'm a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Buddhist, but I'm a Buddhist. I don't know, I'm a Dhamma Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
It works. I've done it. I don't need to go into detail. I just described to you what goes on in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I went there. I saw it.
When do you
In Hilo, Hawaii, in a Buddhist temple. I was there a year. I lived in Hilo for 3 years.
Okay.
I mean, I lived in Hilo for a year. I was vegetarian. You can do it. Anybody can do it. I figured out what was going on. I changed my chemical balance.
Mm-hmm.
I changed my chemical balance. I went from vegetarian to... fruitarian for 2 weeks. I only ate fruit for 2 weeks, and then I had the experience of meditation. High noon in the Buddhist temple, I had the experience. Only because I did what the Bible said. That's why I came back to the Bible. The Garden of Eden.
Hmm.
In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve did not eat meat.
Hmm.
They ate fruit. That's why it specifically mentions the apple on the fruit trees. And they can see God. The code is there. It's a pictorial code. It's what's called a pictorial and verbal code.
Hmm.
It's verbalized plus it's pictorial. Which is what God does. We're doing it right now with television. The ionosphere sends out images. That's why there's heaven. Sends out images. God can do this with light. It's an image and can be audio. We're doing it in modern science, which was already prophesied in Revelations. The man will discover God's secrets. Okay, well that's why it is, okay? So, I accidentally stumbled into it by being fruitarian. Now why, I don't know, I did it. For 2 weeks I was only fruitarian. And after that I started. And then the car fumes started making me sick, and I went over and bought me a chicken at the Safeway, which is the Kroger, and which is always nearby. Hilo, everything's all nearby. Small town.
Well, I did want to ask you a little, to back up just a little bit before you entered the program, where were you staying and sleeping?
Where? When?
Right before you entered the program, when you were experiencing homelessness in Louisville, where were you staying?
Where was I staying?
So before the car accident.
The jerks moved. I turned one of the jerks onto my spot at Christ Church, right down the street from St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved over to the mortuary. There was a mortuary next door, which later became a restaurant. The den never wake you up. They never wake you up. I was like, this is weird, but I had a spot there.
And so
they found out about that
and
started moving
then,
in on me. They started moving in on me, too.
Who's they?
Some street people ain't around no more, fortunately.
Hmm.
Most of them are dead or gone. Christ Church finally bought a ticket for one jerk. He was a mess.
Hmm.
Alcoholic, drug addict, gay, all that.
Hmm.
I mean, he even told me that. Says never go gay. I go, oh, okay, so that's your problem.
Mm-hmm. So you were staying inside the church at the time?
No, I slept outside.
Okay. You slept outside.
Because I could get up early. The noise of the cars in the morning would wake me up at 5 or 6, and I'd get up and walk down to, which is Batters right now, used to be Shell Station, buy coffee, buy some food for lunch or something, catch a bus there, catch 18 there. I learned that trick, that's what I was saying. At 18, I could take 18 to Accutac, and I worked 5 years at Accutac in the factory doing that. Hmm. But 6:50 an hour. Which, the deal was, Labor Works had a deal. If you didn't show up for work, call up. Otherwise, don't call. Your ticket's sent directly there to Accutac.
Hmm.
So, and since I knew the guy, the line I worked on, we did Alcoa aluminum, that stuff. Alcoa full aluminum for Walmart. I found out all that goes to Walmart. They had CDs. They lost the CDs on the Industrial Road out there by Algonquin Parkway and 6. That's why I know the 6th area. They lost that. So they moved to 18th and Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hill. And they moved to 18th and Hill. So the architect there in the old place. At first I turned it, I wouldn't do it, and I said, oh man, I need the money. And they'll hire me, they know me. And they did work there on the aluminum line. And I got real good at packaging. I was always good at packaging. Their packaging CDs, I worked in a special robotics. They had this cage in, the guy walked around with a 9mm, $25 an hour. I talked to inside, and only 5 people worked in there. Robotics, and it was CD. I packaged anywhere from 18 to 10 skids a day, at the least 10 to 11 or 12, and 18 during a school year. Then, I mean, during peak season, Christmas and stuff, for CDs. Then, doing all kinds of CDs and robotics. Then I was taking home $400 a week in my pocket. But then I had a car and was driving back and forth. Dad was alive. Then. That's how I bought the car. For 3 weeks, 12-hour shifts. God, I even had an accident, lost $1,000. Eventually, I wound up getting a job out there, building those trailers for the hurricane victims in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Canadian company.
Hmm.
Worked there for a while, and they just started digging, and you know, I'm supposed to be afraid of working here. I'm afraid of losing my job. Bye. I'm going back to do CDs. I didn't tell them that. Where are you going? I'm going back to do CDs. Man. It's easier than this.
Yeah. And this is all while you were sleeping outside by the church?
No. I was staying with my dad. My dad had sold me a rundown little trailer on the farm, plugging in, free rent, $600 after I came back from the West. So he told me to get a car because then you're right, I was sleeping outside, but he says, get a car and come out here and move, because I come out and do yard work for him.
Okay.
I became a professional yard worker at Weed or out West, because that's one of the few jobs you could get in the streets with the temps out there. That was big at one time. Now they have a drought. There's landscaping, even the Mexicans are. Now they're building up Tucson, and they don't tell you that. Tucson's booming. Because all the West Coasters from California are trying to get away from the earthquake. They don't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the Mexicans. All you see is the border. You go out there, you got a job. Construction.
Mm-hmm.
Mexicans are real big on construction. If you look at them around here, they're always roofing. They do roofing. They also do help. The whole Mexican crews, when I was doing the Brown and Foreman Hotel, I was still in the streets then.
Mm-hmm.
Brown and Foreman Hotel. They were doing all the interior wallboard. Whole Mexican crew.
Mm-hmm. So while you were staying outside by the church, did you feel safe there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was safe there.
Did you ever have any problems with people?
Once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once. I mean, drug addicts, street hippies. I didn't hang around blacks, so I knew whites. And, you know, if they decided, one of them tried to rip me off one night. I chased him down, walked down the middle of the street, butt naked, Mm-hmm. Where the BBC bar is now. BBC bar there. Mm-hmm. Butt naked. Making me get my money back. $12. He had my wallet. He had my money in his wallet. Mm-hmm. Me and give it back. Car drives by. I'm butt naked.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was embarrassing. Yeah, but I didn't care at the time. At the time, I just wanted my $12. That was my last $12.
Right.
And I think that was probably a weekend, a Sunday or something. And that was the $12 I go back to work on Monday with. See, mm-hmm. I always made sure I had that. I go back to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
That way I got paid every day. At the end of the day, I come out with close to 40. $6.50 or close to 40, and I'd have money. That's how I worked it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, stay cool, drink a couple of beers, go, and then I was drinking 8%, 8%. Then get crazy on the weekend. I mean, you do your, you know, experiment with 12% or something. I didn't like that.
Hmm.
It messed your stomach up, or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that kind of brings me to my next question, which was, what belongings did you have, and where did you keep them?
I learned in Colorado, I now have one in there too, a High Sierra. I carried a mountain climber's pack,
mm-hmm.
and I kept all my dirty clothes wrapped up, separately in plastic, a sleeping bag,
mm-hmm.
any extra, anything else that I find behind St. Vincent de Paul's. In those days, it was real good.
Mm-hmm.
Clothes, I'd roll them up in plastic and pull them in the bushes around the church. Another advantage to the church.
Mm-hmm.
They all wind up moldy. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that now. But eventually that disappeared. I mean, there were standing lines, standing room only at the dumpster on St. Vincent de Paul. They cut that out. They don't throw it. Now they probably give it, I would assume they're giving it away to send it to Mexico, places mm-hmm. like that, or to Goodwills or whatever they do. They don't have many of those used clothing places. They do something with it.
Yeah.
They can even bag them up for rags. They can use them in rags, making rag ropes. I would assume what they're really doing when they send it to Mexico is refugees.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are, as refugees. I would assume that. See, a sacks of clothes, that's what they do. Those are considered, St. Vincent de Paul and Goodwill are considered, what do you call them? Well, they're donation centers.
Yeah.
They're primarily for the poor and for refugees.
Mm-hmm. So did you feel like anything you didn't keep with you in your backpack was going to get taken or moldy or?
Eventually, I kept a lot of it.
Yeah.
Then what's his name? I forgot his name. Started stealing them. I got mad at him. Then I found out the reason he was stealing. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, man, for kicking you in the face." He was always going to hospital. He's having like what, 5 or 6 seizures. That's why they probably unloaded him at church. 5 or 6 seizures. He drank so much vodka. All these guys drink that cheap Heaven Hill vodka. And they wind up alcoholics, drug addicts. Yeah, real bad. I mean, some of them, I don't see any of them that bad. But you ever see them look that bad? That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing drugs with that cheapest thing on the market, Heaven Hill vodka.
Mm-hmm.
And there's suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
That's suicide. With most of those guys I know are dead now. Overdoses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what's the vodka? You're basically pickling. You're pickling. You're marinating your meat, your protein, your heart, so you're marinating everything in you, and then you're going to load up on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You're suicidal.
Yeah.
The other side of homicidal suicide. They're going to end up dead. And they really don't care if you ever talk to them. I've had more than one tell me they wish they were dead. Well, be careful what you wish for. You might just get it.
Mm-hmm. So during this time, did you have anyone that you felt you could rely on?
St. John Center and my brothers.
And your brothers?
Yeah, if I really was, I really needed a short-term period. My brother owns a house. The other one has a farm. He's retiring in August because he says he's retiring since he hits his birthday. That's August. He's 18-wheeler. He's a National Guard, Fort Campbell, Fort Knox, 18 years, and he drives an 18-wheeler. He's a small guy. He's not really a hothead. He can be.
So did you reach out to them when you were homeless?
Huh?
Did you reach out to your brothers when you were homeless?
When I went out to live out there, my one brother. Yeah, a couple of times. Jerry's all right. Jerry's got the waist the size of a pencil. He has one lung collapse. Mm-hmm. He's an avid cigarette smoker. Doesn't drink any. And his wife inherited my Fonda. No kids, new house, new cars.
So in what way did they help you when you reached out to them?
Well, they come down and help do yard work and what else? Help do the yard work. And when I accidentally my car, he come and picked me up.
Mm-hmm.
Took me home. Then brought me back to pick up the car. Because it happened in Bardstown, and right around the corner, there was a Kmart, and there was a Walmart there. Right around the corner I had an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I only drank one beer. I rolled over a medium.
Wow.
Tore up my axle on the right hand. They're independent suspension. I never knew that. I know now. On the Mitsubishi, Mitsubishi. So right around the corner, I rolled it around the corner and there was an auto shop. $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. But I was working then at that factory. No, I'd been working in Louisville. I was driving out of Louisville, taking Bardstown Road. Mm-hmm. It goes through Bardstown. It's you drive down the interstate, make a left in Bardstown, it's much more, there's a gas station there that sells beer, take it there. That was weird too. I honestly got mixed up with the lines. It's a line. They told me at the auto shop that happens all the time, happens a lot. I think they do it on purpose because the line was white and it's supposed to be divided lines or whatever when you're turning off. It was a solid. And I went right over, not the median, I went right over the landscaping before I knew what was happening. I was driving. I thought I was in the right-hand lane. By the time I switched it, I'm right over the landscaping. I thought I was in the right-hand lane going straight.
Well, I do want to ask you, you mentioned St. John's Center. How often did you go there during the day center?
Well, not when I was working. Every weekend. When I was working to get a shower. Or, I had worked it out. I was pretty smart on this. I had worked it out that I'd only work 2 days off one day, like a Wednesday, because they started cutting back hours.
Mm-hmm.
So.
At the factory they did?
Yeah, they started cutting back hours.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't work you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
After a while. I guess they had more than enough people. The lines didn't run all the time. Lines run in according to orders. So orders picked up during school year. Summertime, slow. Wintertime, good. And I noticed, summertime, slow. So that's when you really need a shower, though,
mm-hmm.
from the sweat. Because the place had no air, nothing, no air conditioning, fans.
Wow.
And people fall over the fans.
Right.
Yeah. I worked at a packaging machine, 375 degrees. You put a fan there, it's blowing hot air on you. My t-shirt inside of 1 hour was totally wet from sweat.
Wow.
But to a beer drinker, that was perfect. I discovered something. I was totally sober in 1 hour. In 1 hour, I drenched.
Sweat out on beer.
Yeah. And by the time I got off work at 3:30, I was ready to go get a beer.
So you mentioned,
the way I thought.
You'd schedule yourself so you have 2 days working and then you have an off day. And
I tried to do that.
So you
did three and I'd shower up. Christchurch, Church of Christ, Church of Christ had a faucet outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd make sure it was after dark and nobody was around and then, or maybe early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made sure I stayed pretty clean. You can't get that sticky in the summer, too.
So, while you were at St. John Center, besides showering, what else did you do there?
Lots of coffee, watching television. I drank coffee. I tried to drink coffee at 11 o'clock.
Let's see. And what was your impression of St. John Center when you were there?
It's a good place. It's a real good place. Get a shower, get lots of coffee, you can watch some television. You can go out, drink a little, come back in, sit down, don't cause any trouble. The only bad thing about St. John's Center is the people. Not the people, the tramps. Once in a while you get a troublemaking tramp in there. That's what you gotta watch out. You just go sit, watch some television, mind your own business. Yeah, that's the only thing. I mean, there are, and there's no way of stopping that. I mean, nobody can read minds. But they do. They do have problems in there. Once in a while. I get used to.
So what's your impression of some of the staff that work there?
I never ever had a problem with staff. Mm-hmm. Never had a problem with staff. Staff's real. The most helpful people there are. I mean, they'll help you out.
What kinds of things did they help you with when you were homeless?
And back in the day, you could get a backpack from Keith. You could get clothing from T. No, back in the day, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fresh out of the hospital, that happened to me a couple of months or once. Maybe two, I think just once. Got a change of clothes because I only walked out with the blues.
Mm-hmm.
Greens, whatever the color is.
So all you had from walking out the hospital was the hospital gown, and you went to St. John's, and they helped you?
Yeah.
And do you ever go back to the city?
Once in a while you get shoes from them. They used to. But if not, then down the street is Schumann Center.
Yeah.
Never open. I think they're open every day, aren't they? I'm not sure if they're open every day.
Not exactly. I'm not sure if they're open on the weekends or not, but...
They're not open.
Otherwise,
every day,
yeah.
I think they're open every day up to 12 o'clock.
And what did you do at the Schumann Center?
I got clothes. Okay. Shoes and clothes. Sometimes some good shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they don't have anything. But.
And do you ever go back to St. John's Center now or Schumann Center?
No.
No.
No, I got everything. About a year ago, they had the besides life skills, they had a group meeting, and on Tuesdays, and they took us out and bought. I did have one other caseworker, Ashley.
Ashley,
and they took us out and bought shoes. I went out and bought shoes twice. I still got them. I don't even wear them. Boots. I bought boots.
So Ashley was your case manager after Tiny and before Courtney.
Before Tiny. After Sarah, Ashley was first, then Tiny, then Kurt. Yeah.
Okay.
She was very short. What happened, Ashley quit and went back to YMCA or YWCA or something. Well,
yeah.
Then she came back.
Yeah.
So that's why they switched me to Tiny.
So, were there any other shelters that you visited while you were homeless?
Well, I stayed at Healing Place, Salvation Army,
mm-hmm.
during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a scam. I'd take my sleeping bag and everything in. They didn't want you to take your shoes off, and my feet sweated. So, in boots, I loosened them. They didn't say anything. So, at midnight when they turned the TV off, I'd sign out and never say anything. I'd sign out, leave the chair empty. I had to sleep in a chair, only enough room in a chair. Sleep in a chair, and I go out and climb my sleeping bag and go to sleep. Go to the church, sleep and climb my sleeping bag
mm-hmm.
after I watch TV. Great lifestyle, actually. I had a good sleeping bag, I'm not dumb. I'm in Colorado. I did the same thing in Colorado.
So?
Minus 30. You get a 30 degree minus, and if you climb into a 30 degree, it has to be at least 30 degree, and you climb in with your clothes. Doesn't work? But long johns on.
Yeah.
Zip it up good. It works.
So why did you only want to stay at Salvation Army or the Healing Place during the winter? Why wouldn't you stay there year round?
Oh. air conditioning is not that great there, and people would come in. The second shift would come and wake up every night at 12 or 1 in the morning. And you're trying, and you're going a day shift. I didn't like it. And only, and after I'd already got used to sleeping outside out west, I went back to sleeping outside. Yeah, once I once you invest in a sleeping bag, they're not cheap. They're going to run it, I think, a couple hundred dollars. Yeah. The mountain climbing packs on there was 100. I got those at Dick's. A guy in the street turned me on to go over to Dick's to get some good deals. I did. In Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
By bus, 75 or 70. And I did. I spent like $200-$300. I went and got a backpack was on sale. Good deal. And I got a sleeping bag. A good sleeping bag. Which I learned in Colorado. Remember, I slept outside in the cold in Colorado.
Right.
There you buy Camp Sevens. They're called Camp Sevens. There's a major, or Caribou. Caribou's the expensive one.
Mm-hmm. You said earlier that the streets were addictive. Can you talk more about what you mean by that?
Addictive? Well, once you get comfortable, addiction is comfort. Once you get comfortable with it, it's easy street. Yeah, once you get comfortable, that's what's addictive. It's easy street once you get comfortable. It's only people.
Yeah.
It's only the tramps that cause the problems. People don't cause problems. They leave you alone. It's the tramps. You got to watch where the tramps are. And they're getting bad here, too, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting overcrowded. That has to do with overpopulating. One or two tramps, yeah. Three or four, 10, next thing you know, population, overpopulation. It happens on every level.
Hmm.
Like a flea, one or two fleas. Big
yeah.
deal. 50 fleas, oh, there's a problem.
Yeah. So I did want to ask you some final questions, kind of about relationships and your sense of belonging. So for you, who are the most important people to you in your life?
Oh, my caseworkers and my family. That's it. Caseworkers and family. I'm learning that one.
And how often do you see your family?
I call them on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm actually in about once a month. Maybe spread. I call Jerry. He actually talks to me. Larry's calling me. Then talk a whole lot. I'm going to try to get him down here now that everything's running. Because he's got to apply. I don't know where he's going to apply for Social Security. But they got him. They got the spots out there. Probably
hmm.
E-Town. E-Town, he wants to come
yeah.
down. I've told him where I live. He can call anytime.
And has your relationship, you mentioned when your father died that there was maybe some issue with your siblings surrounding the farm that you all inherited.
Oh, yeah, everybody wanted all the money.
So has your
story.
especially to the mother-in-law, not the mother-in-law, not the mother-in-law. She wasn't my mother. What's that called?
Stepmother.
Mm-hmm. Stepmother. And her family was definitely upset.
Hmm. Did y'all still have problems because of that? Or?
They got all the furniture and stuff. No, I don't have any. She's dead. Her brother died, drug overdose, and her daughter died, drug overdose, because they were selling the local. She worked in a nursing home. Not a nursing home. Yeah, nursing home. They were selling the pills. She showed me a whole cabinet, as big a cabinet in there full of pills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she died.
Wow. So
opiates, I guess.
So
and she was super. I mean, I thought she was her grandma. I thought she was her mother. That's my daughter. Three chins, about 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Betty Jo was her. Betty Jo. Sad.
Yeah,
it's
tough.
Oh, yeah, her other daughter, she tried to, I could tell she was trying to fix me. She was trying to dump her boyfriend who wasn't working. He inherited $20,000. They inherited a lot of money out there. People have land. $20,000. And all he did was dope. He died of a coke overdose. I found from the guy across the street who was from, part of town, I keep forgetting, Well, anyway, out there by, I keep wanting to say Auburn. Anyway, he's from there, and he's a retired soldier, and he bought one dad and one of grandpa's piece of land across the way, real flat, real nice. I wish I had that farm. If ours is hilly with woods, but dad was a deer hunter, so he, I see what he did. Hilly with woods, he, the deer come up the holler that's there, from the deeper holler that's down there further. That surrounds all those land on the hill. So we're living on it. They all, in the country, you live on the hill because you would have flooded out. Plus wolves, deer, wild animals. That's where you hunt, but that's not where you live. Plus the mountains, the hollers, the reason they're hollers, they cave in. Sinkholes. Sinkholes all over the place. It's where we dumped our garbage in the sinkholes. Big sinkholes.
Interesting. Huh. Well, so the next question I've got for you is, what does the word home mean to you?
A place you feel comfortable you feel comfortable and you can be exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You can be exclusive. That's what I see. Which is really what you guys wind up doing in the streets anyway. If you're going to hang on to your money, you have to be exclusive, secluded.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be secluded and exclusive. You have to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no choice. I mean, man is a predator. He's an animal. He's a two-legged animal. I've told people that. He's a two-legged animal. He's still a two-legged animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
he's still a predator.
You've turned a small studio apartment into a home that feels very homey and inviting when you come in. Can you kind of explain your apartment to people listening since they can't see it?
Oh, yeah. I have a lime green dividers, which goes way back to the Oriental Chinese and even to the television sets. You see these dividers, which they usually change clothes behind, but they also were used as, in the Orient, they were used as dividers for families.
Hmm.
Which those families are usually overpopulated, especially Chinese. They don't tell you that, but they're overpopulated, so they would use the dividers to divide off the family center instead of one big room for the family. Divide the family center, the cooking center, from the family, the husband and wife.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they would use that. Those
so
dividers.
What do you use your lime green dividers for?
A bedroom. I created a bedroom in the studio, which blocks out the light. Blocks out the light and hides my clothes, dishwashing liquid. And I got shelving in there, two-story shelving. Shoes, I got plenty of room for shoes now. I was crowding that closet space up. Now I don't have to crowd the closet space up.
Mm-hmm.
Now my closet space is roomy.
Mm-hmm.
Roomy, I can put a ladder in it. I'll show you this. You want to see it?
We can do it in just a minute. How about we finish this up real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So my last question, my second last question for you is...
The laundry room.
Does this place feel like home to you?
Yeah. I got it set just right.
What's your favorite thing about it?
My favorite thing about it? The kitchen's pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have enough counter space all of a sudden, I noticed. That's my only argument, but otherwise, the kitchen's very convenient. I like the kitchen a lot. Stove's good. The refrigerator is excellent. It's Frigidaire. That's why I went ahead and got Frigidaire air conditioners. It's a good, and I think that's a Kenmore stove, which is the same as out there. They're very good stoves.
Hmm.
Still one with their air ovens. Boy, those are nice.
I
would love to get one, but then what I need was a big stove, so I'm satisfied. The price is right.
So, last question for you. Looking back over your life, what are some moments or times that have particularly shaped you?
Particularly shaped me? Strangely enough, what particularly shaped me was the negatives.
Hmm.
Yeah, getting ripped off, dropping out of school, breaking my wife, the accident, the negatives, because that's actually the negatives. That's actually what creates. Okay, back to the symbol of the cross. It's reclining. It goes across. It's horizontal. But what shapes the standard? The standard, the straight up and down shapes the standard. Creates a plus. From a negative to a plus.
Hmm.
A positive.
So you feel that from the negatives in your life have come positive things as well?
Yeah, that's what separate is from the ape.
Mm-hmm.
Overcoming adversity.
Hmm.
Ah, I knew I'd find it somewhere in there. Overcoming adversity. I always said turning a negative to a positive, but overcoming adversity. That has a lot to do with DNA or electrical circuits, electromagnetic universe, electrical circuits. We're not severed. That's the whole point I was trying to get. We're not severed. It just looks that way. We're not severed from the sun, the rest of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why those guys study horoscopes and stars. They weren't wrong. There's an influence. Maybe they'll find out the influence of that. I mean, look. I even have the Laura Croft.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk about that we haven't already discussed?
No.
Okay. See, did you have any other thing that you want to talk about?
No, I think you've been pretty thorough.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to stop recording then.
Yeah.